of Torah Lamed Ches in Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph. We're up to paragraph Vav. We'll just give a short summary of some of the topics that were brought up so far in this chapter on Likutei Moran, and we'll continue from where we left off. Rabbeinu Zal started off speaking about a person being attached to Hashem, dovuk to Hashem, and he said that the mitzvah by which a person could measure how well dovuk they are to Hashem is the mitzvah of tefillin. And we explained what the connection was there. Then Rabbeinu Zal went into a discussion about how in order for a person to feel the full effects of the mitzvah of tefillin, the person has to be zeicher to tikkun hadibur, which means to be zeicher not to speak any wrong type of words, lashon hara, dvarim betelim, and to be zeicher that the dibur should be proper. Rabbeinu Zal mentioned specifically regarding the issue of people that look at others and always find fault with them, or find fault with what they're doing. And rather than that, a person being able to use the dibur to be malamed zchus on people. And Rabbeinu Zal said that you should know that through pegam hadibur, that's the cause of all types of suffering and tzoros and tests that people have. Then Rabbeinu Zal went on to a very deep discussion that we had last week, showing parallel to how the Arizal explains what happens according to Kabbalah as a person's going about doing the mitzvah of tefillin, actually starting from a person getting up in the middle of the night and learning after chatzos, after midnight, and then getting up in the morning and doing the mitzvah of tefillin in the different stages, putting on the tefillin shel yad, then the tefillin shel roish. The Arizal explains what takes place with the shechina while that's happening. And Rabbeinu Zal showed how it relates to a person going through different stages of doing tshuva, with the final stage, the climax, being where a person reaches such a level of boishes ponim before Hashem, where a person feels so ashamed and humble before Hashem, where it's written all over the person's face, to such an extent that if you would look at this person's face, just looking at such a person's face, a person would be filled with fear of Hashem, and it would open up the person's mind to thinking higher thoughts about Hashem, Hasogas Alakus, than they had before. This is in general what we spoke about so far, and we'll continue from there. Paragraph Vov. Rabbeinu Zal says, Moshe, and here there's two versions, whether it's Moshe Gamkein or Moshe leaving out the words Gamkein. Moshe Zocho Lo'er HaTfilin. Moshe Rabbeinu is one who was really Zocho to the full measure of light of the mitzvah of Tfilin. Kamoshe Kosu B'Zoyar, as is written in Zoyar HaKodesh, it says that after the Jews were participated in the Egel HaZohov, the Posek says, Vayisnatzlu Es Edyom. They removed their tachshitin. They removed their gold and silver and those things. The Zohar HaKadosh says, this actually means they gave up their heavenly tachshitin. They gave up a certain heavenly light that they had up until that point. It was removed from them.
And the crowns they had.
The crowns that they had, we'll see in a minute. The Zohar HaKadosh says, what tachshitin did they give up? Do tefillin. This refers to the light of tefillin, which they possessed up until that point, and which they received especially in full measure when they stood at Har Sinai, because in the Aseres HaDibros it says at the end of them that Hashem says, you want to know why I did all of this magnificence that I showed on Har Sinai? Moshe Rabbeinu says, Leman tihiye yirosoy al peneichem levilti techto. The reason why Hashem showed the thunder and lightning and all the koil shofar that took place at Har Sinai was so that the Yidden should have the fear of Hashem upon their faces, so that they shouldn't commit sins. And the Gemara says, what does it mean, fear of Hashem on your face? Zu habusha. This refers to a shyness and a shameful look upon the person's face. So at Har Sinai, when the Yidden stood at Har Sinai, they received this. When they participated in the Egel HaZohav, this was removed from them. This busha, this oyer hatfilin, was removed from them. And Rabbeinu Zal says, the Pasuk continues to say, Moshe yikach es ha'ohel. The Pasuk says that when Moshe Rabbeinu saw that the Jews had fallen, and he saw that they were in this bad place, he picked up his tent and he moved away from them. He separated himself from them. Rabbeinu Zal says, Moshe yikach es ha'ohel. shelokach oison ha'oirois. The word oihel means tent, and the word oihel also refers to a high level of light. That the lights that the Jews gave up, they forfeited as a result of the Egel Azov, it was removed from them, and Moshe Rabbeinu picked it up and took it for himself. Miloshoin behiloi neiroi ale roishi. There's a pasuk in Iyov where it says that the candle of Hashem shines upon my forehead. So we see the word behiloi, which is loshon oihel, means to shine. So when it says that the Jews removed their edyom and Moshe Rabbeinu took the oihel, it means he picked up the lights that they dropped. Ayin b'Zohar HaKadosh, the Zohar HaKadosh in these two places talks about this very clearly. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu at that time received a toisefes oir, an additional light that he didn't have at that up until that point, which the Jews had forfeited. V'zehu ki koran oir ponov. And this is why the pasuk says, in close proximity to that, that the skin of the face of Hashem shone. The word oir means skin.
Moshe.
The skin of the face of Moshe Rabbeinu shone. The word oyer means skin, and the word oyer also refers to leather. Oyer is what the tefillin are made up of. Al shem keren achas hoyeloi b'mitzchoi. Rabbi Nezal says this corresponds to the fact that the Gemara says that Odom Arishon brought a sacrifice to Hashem, a certain ox, a shoyer, and this shoyer had one horn coming out of its forehead. Keren achas hoyeloi b'mitzchoi. The word keren means a horn in Hebrew, and the word keren also means light. So Rabbi Nezal says here that when we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, ki koran oir ponov, it's referring to this light of tefillin that Moshe Rabbeinu was zeichet to. Ze bechinas tefillin shehu b'meitzach. This refers to the light of tefillin which is worn upon the forehead. And because Moshe Rabbeinu was zeichet to this oir hatfilin, vayiru migeshes elov, the Jews were afraid to approach him, to come close to him. They were filled with a yira. As a result of Moshe Rabbeinu having this oir hatfilin, the Jews, by looking upon him, were filled with a yira. Ki heir aleihem hayira, because Moshe Rabbeinu shone upon them this yira. K'mayshe kosev, as we saw earlier, Oz Tovin Yiras Hashem, that through tefillin, which we said was tied into Bina, through that there shines forth Yiras Hashem, one who is Zeche to the true light of tefillin, which represents this boishes ponim before Hashem, he radiates Yira. Now Rabbi Nezal says, V'zeh Sham Razal, this is what the Gemara says, Ho'ever Aveiro Umizbayesh Bo, if a Jew commits a sin and feels ashamed of it, they regret it, moichlin loy miyad. Hashem pardons that person immediately. That's how important this attribute of busha is. A person feeling ashamed of having done something wrong, that's something that Hashem considers so important that the person is forgiven immediately. Ki ho aveiro machnis ba'odom ruach shtus. The Gemara says that when a person does an Aveira, that injects, when a person goes against Hashem, that injects a foolishness into the person. V'al-yidei busha machzir ha-moichin. And we learned earlier that busha, when a person feels the right type of shame and embarrassment, that restores the sechel, that restores the moichin to the person. We said that in order for a Jew in the morning to receive a fresh brain, a fresh ability to think clearly, that's one of the reasons why we put on tefillin in the morning. Tefillin represents the boishes ponim with which a person receives the hischatshu samoichin for the morning. K'moshe koso, as the pasuk says, oz tovin yiras Hashem, that through yiras Hashem, which represents busha, we said, lamantia yirosei al panechem zu abusha, through busha there is bina, there is additional sechel, or through moichin there's busha. It works both ways.
Tikkun. Whatever it is an incredible thing to go through. Now, when he says here that whoever it goes through busha after having sinned, does he mean just that, that Hashem sends him an embarrassing situation and he's embarrassed with that, or he's actually embarrassed at the fact that he's sinning? That's why I don't
remember. On the simple level here, it's talking about a person who feels ashamed of what he did wrong. However, another way of that coming about is a person going through an embarrassing experience, and rather than being angry at the one that did it to him, or rather than being angry at Hashem for putting me through this suffering, the person says, I deserve it. If it happened to me, I must be worthy of it. And the person doesn't complain to Hashem, the person doesn't feel angry at Hashem at all, and they don't even feel angry at the person that did it, that's another form of this, for sure. Both items are true. The question is, the Gemara says in one place that a person doesn't commit a sin unless they first become foolish. Person loses their rationale and that allows them to commit a sin. Rabbi Nazal puts a slight twist on that Gemara, both being exactly true and valid and recognized Pirushim. Where Rabbi Nazal says that you should know that the act of committing a sin also turns on foolishness in the person. It's either or. They're both tied in. Either foolishness will lead to sin, or sin will lead to foolishness. It's a circle.
It's a vicious cycle.
It's a vicious cycle. And a person can choose to fix it from either perspective. A person decides to stop sinning, then automatically they're preparing themselves to improve their brain. Or if a person decides to start learning, then automatically they're putting a stop to their committing sins. Now Rabbi Nazal says, "V'zeh shamra chazal." This is what the Gemara says in Brachos. "V'zeh shamra chazal." This is what the Gemara says in Edorim. Mi sheyesh boy azuz. Biodua sheloy omdu rakli avois of Har Sinai. A person who has azus means chutzpah, brazenness. Person who has gall,
brazenness,
that proves that that person's parents were not present at Mount Sinai when Hashem gave the Torah. The wording in the Gemara is that that person's parents' feet were not standing at Har Sinai when Hashem gave the Torah. Rabbi Nazal explains this now, because azus is the opposite of busha. That brazenness is the opposite of shyness, a certain shyness on the person's face. Rabbi Nazal explains, ki Odom HaRishon pogam bebechinas tefillin. We know that when Odom HaRishon, when Adam went against the command of Hashem and he ate from the tree of wisdom, as a result of that, he was pogam, he made defective the concept of tefillin. Shehein bechinas eitz hachayim. Tefillin are compared to the tree of life. We're told that during the time of Adam HaRishon, there were two trees at that time. There was an eitz hachayim, and there was an eitz hadas toivora. And Hashem told Adam HaRishon, if you eat from the eitz hadas toivora, it's going to lead to death. So one was an eitz hachayim, the other one was an eitz hamoves. The Eitz HaChaim, Rabbi Nazal says, is synonymous with tefillin, because the Gemara says there's a pasuk Hashem Aleihem Kemoishikosu Hashem Aleihem Yichyu. There's a pasuk that says that when the Jews have the name of Hashem upon them, they live. What mitzvah is the name of Hashem upon them? The mitzvah of tefillin. Person wears the tefillin, which have in them written 21 times the name of Hashem, in each one of the boxes, in the Shel Roish, in the Shel Yad, Shmoyso Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, tefillin is called Chaim, Hashem Aleihem Yichyu. When Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, Toivara, the other one, he was poigame in the Eitz HaChaim. He was poigame in tefillin. V'dovak esatzmoy be'ilon Adam Moisa. He attached himself to the tree of death. Because of that, he was punished, that he was removed from Gan Eden, from paradise. Ki azus ponim legehenim. Because the Gemara says that brazenness leads a person into Gehenim. So by the fact that we're told he was removed from Gan Eden, it means he went one step towards Gehenim. It doesn't mean literally he was put into Gehenim, but exiting from Gan Eden means headed towards Gehenim. Headed towards Gehenim means there was azus. There was the opposite of busha. V'kad tov b'tshuvto, and the Zohar HaKadosh says, when Adam HaRishon did tshuva, he repented, k'siv v'yas lohem kos nasor, that Hashem prepared leather clothing, kosnois oyer, for Adam and Chava. The Zohar HaKadosh says, do tefillin. That means that as a result of his tshuva, what he lost was returned to him. He lost chayim, he lost the light of tefillin. When he did tshuva, Hashem gave them kosnos oyer, with an ayin, which means the mitzvah, Hashem restored him the light of tefillin. V'zeh pirush, with this we can understand something that the Gemara says in Chulin. The Gemara says that part of Adam Rishon's tshuva was that he brought a certain sacrifice to Hashem. The Gemara says in Chulin, Shor shehekriv Adam Rishon, keren achas hoysaloi b'mitzchoi. The ox which Adam Rishon brought as a sacrifice, as part of his repentance, had one horn on its forehead. Rabbein Ezal explains, K'al yedei ha-korban, Hainu al yedei ha-tshuva, Zocho le-bechinas tefillin, Shu bechinas kirun oyer haponim. Through the fact that Adam Rishon brought a korban, why does a Jew bring us, what's the whole concept of sacrifices? Is this something mystical that the Jews believe by taking an animal and doing some kind of hocus-pocus on it, that means a tikkun? Rav Nosson Zal explains in Likutei Halachos, one of the reasons why Hashem wanted the Jews to bring animals as sacrifices was because when a human being is forced to walk side by side with a cow or an ox or a sheep, he's reminded that Hashem considers the act that he committed a maisa behema, an animalistic act. You lowered yourself to behave like an animal, now come into the Beis HaMikdash with an animal. Now bring an animal in your place. An animal is worthy of replacing you because you lowered yourself to the level of an animal. So that makes a busha for a human being dressed in a suit and a tie and a shirt to be walking side by side with a cow going into the Beis HaMikdash. That's humiliating. That embarrassment represents tshuva. So bichlal, the whole concept of bringing karbonos is an inyan of boishes ponim, a tshuva, through which the person is zoicha to have restored to them the light of tefillin, which represents that glow on the face of the person. The light, the kirun oyer haponim, is restored. V'kayin shohoyo mizu amas hanochosh. We know that it's brought that when Chava accepted the advice of the snake, when the Nochosh advised her to eat from the Eitz Hadas, and she ate from it, and she gave Adam Rishon to eat, the Gemara uses the wording, hitil bo zuama, that the snake injected Chava with a tumah. It's brought that afterwards, when she had children, Cain and Hevel, Cain received some of that zuama, some of that tumah that was injected into Chava, came out in Cain. And that's why he had bad qualities, that's why he wanted to murder his brother, that's why he was jealous of his brother's two twin sisters when he only had one twin sister. So Rabbein Ezal explains now, the Cain shohoyo mizuamas hanochosh, Cain who had received some of this tumah of the snake, ksiv bei, the Pasuk says about him, lomo noflu ponecho, Hashem said to him, after he murdered Hevel, why does your face look fallen? Naflu panecha means again, pigam and tefillin, that light on the face is missing. Shehu bechinas oyer hatfillin. This is referring, the ponim over here refers to the light of tefillin, which Hashem was saying is missing from your face. Shehu kirun oyer haponim. That represents the glow on the skin of the face. V'kayin hevi mipsoilas. And therefore, because Kayin was pigam and tefillin, you'll observe that when it came to Kayin, when Kayin had a choice of choosing between good and bad, he preferred bad. When it came to bringing a sacrifice to Hashem, Hevel brought from the choicest of his things, he brought from the wool of the sheep, Cain brought from flax, linen, which was the cheapest item at the time. It represented psoilus, something very cheap. This goes back to what Rabbein Ezal said earlier, that when a person is faced with a choice, whether to say something good about someone or say something bad about someone, that's the difference here between choosing the psoilus over the toiv. That was Cain. One who is poigem and tefillin automatically finds it easier to choose bad rather than good when there's a choice. Shero choiv lecholechod. This implies that Cain saw bad in everybody. Ve'isa, and the Medrash says that when Cain did tshuva, what did Hashem do? Vayosem lekayin ois. Hashem gave Cain a sign, a symbol, that his repentance was accepted. And the Medrash says, Shezorach loy keren. Hashem made a horn grow on Cain. Again, representing that Hashem restored to him this light of the tefillin, which is called, Keren means a horn, and Kirun means to shine, a glow, referring to the tefillin that's like a horn coming out of the person's head. Hainu kanal, as we said earlier. V'zeh shekosuv b'kayin v'yeshev be'eretz noid kidma seiden. The pasuk says that part of his punishment was that he was ejected also from Gan Eden, and he sat be'eretz noid. The Gemara says this means nov onod. He was forced to go into exile. Kidmas Eden, in front of Gan Eden, outside the entrance to Gan Eden. Rabbi Nezal says here, pirush sheloi zocho le'eden. Cain was not zoche to Eden, al yidei shepogam bi'oyer ha'tfilin, because he was poigem. He messed up the light of the tefillin. V'zeh kidmas, this is why the Torah uses the word kidmas Eden. Kidmas roshei tevois karkafta deloy manach tefillin. When the Gemara speaks about a Jew who never puts on tefillin, the Gemara has this expression, a skull that never had tefillin placed upon it. Karkafta deloy manach tefillin. The first letters of karkafta deloy manach tefillin spell the word kidmas. So Rabbi Nezal says here that when the Torah says about Cain that he was forced to sit kidmas Eden, it implies that his pigam was a pigam in tefillin. Because he was poigim in the light of tefillin, his punishment was also related to the kidmas. Karkafta doleimanach tefillin. V'zeh shomru azah. How is Cain poigim in tefillin? We said before, the fact that he had this zuamas hanochosh, he was the manifestation of this Eitz Hadas Toiv Ora, which is the opposite of the Eitz HaChaim, and the fact that he showed these bad qualities, jealousy and other things, which are the opposite of that bushas, boishas ponim, the yira. V'zeh shomru azah, this is what the Gemara says, mi sheyesh boi azuz, biyodua shenichshal be'eshes ish. A person who shows brazenness, that proves that that person committed a sin of adultery. Ki Cain omad al tu'umosai shel hevel. Because the Gemara says that Cain took advantage of the extra twin sister of Hevel. Hevel was born with two twin sisters, Cain with one, and Cain took away one of Hevel's twin sisters as a wife. In those days, people were born with twin sisters, which they were supposed to marry. There's a medrash that that's the same case was true about the sons of Yaakov Avinu, that we don't find any mention of their wives. Who did they marry? One opinion in the Medrash is that each one of them was born with a twin sister that they were supposed to marry. In other words, this was a clear case where Hashem wanted them to marry a relative, you know, a sister. Rabbi Nezal says now, Ki Kain omad al tu mosei shel hevel kamei shekosuv, vayihi bihi yoysom basode. It was when they were standing in the field, vayokom Kain rose up and he killed Hevel. And the Gemara fills in, rose up against the twin sister and killed him for that reason, out of jealousy related to that. V'Yisroel she'omdu al har Sinai. And the Torah tells us that this zuama, that the nochosh injected into Chava, continued to affect people until Bnei Israel stood at Har Sinai. When they stood at Har Sinai and they received that blast of Yira, that blast of Busha, that served as a tikkun to remove from their system this Zuamo, this evil. Posko Zuamosam. The Gemara says in Shabbos that when the Jews stood at Har Sinai, this Zuamo stopped. Hainu Zuamas HaNochosh. This goes back to that original Zuamo that the Nochosh injected into Chava. Ve'akum shelo yomdu, and the other nations of the world, which did not participate in Matan Torah at Har Sinai, loy posko zuamosom. By them, the zuamo did not stop. By them, this zuamo still exists inside of them. Vizeh, this is what the Gemara means when it says that a person who shows azus, biyodua shelo yomdu ragle avoysov al Har Sinai. Rabbi Nezal says, ragle daiko. Why does the Gemara bother to say that this shows that their parents' feet were not at Har Sinai? Why does it mention the feet specifically? Rabbi Nezal says, Ki ein lohem raglayim, kama shekosuv al gechoin chotelech. Because the Torah tells us that as a result of what the snake did, the nochosh, Hashem removed its feet. Hashem cursed the nochosh al gechoin chotelech, that the snake is forced to crawl on its belly, it has no feet. So here also, a person The Nachash injected a Zuama. At Har Sinai, that Zuama stopped. If we see a person that seems that wasn't affected by Har Sinai, it means the effects of the Nachash are still in them. The effects of the Nachash are that the person has no feet. This lacking, this pigam in the raglayim. This is what the Zohar HaKadosh says, Vayosem Hashem leKayin ois, that after Kayin did tshuva, it says Hashem gave him a sign to show him that he was forgiven, that people would see on Kayin that Hashem had forgiven his sin. What was the sign? The Gemara says, Hechzir Moiroi Aleihem, that Hashem restored fear, the fear of Kayin, upon all the animals and all the other creations. That when he committed the sin, when he killed Hevel, what happened was, as a result of his Azus, Hashem made it that nothing was afraid of him. The animals weren't afraid of him, everything else wasn't afraid of him, because he was Poigim. This Azus is a Pigam in the Busha, in the Yira. When he did Tshuva, Tshuva is Miloshin Boishes, Toshuv is Boishes. As a result of his Tshuva, Hashem restored his fear upon all of creation. Kamayshakosu, as the Pasuk says about Tfilin, Vero kol Ame Ha'oretz, that all the nations of the world will see that Hashem is upon you, that you're wearing Tfilin, V'yorum Yimeka, and they'll be afraid of you. Kemoshekosuv kad tov b'tyufto, as the Zohar HaKadosh says, when Kayin did tshuva, vayosem Hashem leKayin ois. Hashem gave Kayin an ois, a sign. Ois is also the word that's used about tefillin in the Torah. V'hoyo ois al yodchol tetofes ben anecha. This means that the oir of tefillin was restored for Kayin.
Well, he has an azus that his parents feed him out of our Sinai.
I've heard that this question is asked by the Arizal. What do you do about a parent that has two children? One is the epitome of Boishes Panim, the other one's a Mechutzav. What does it mean? The parent wasn't at Har Sinai? The Arizal says that Raglei Avoisov means that person in a previous Gilgul. When we say a person's parent, it means sometimes that person in their earlier state. It means that person in a previous Gilgul. That's how the Arizal teaches that Gemara, that it doesn't mean literally the parent. The Gemara is speaking in code, in a sense, and the Gemara means that that person in their Gilgul before was not at Har Sinai.
It's a tumor that was in Cain. Does that mean he didn't have any?
The tumah that was in Kayin, does that mean that he didn't have any choice? No. It might mean that it made it more difficult for him. There is this concept, Dovra Melech says in a Pasuk in Tehillim, Uvechet yechemas mi'imi, that my mother, in a sense, left me with sin, implying that there is this concept of a child being born from parents, and as a result of the impurity of the parents, it gives the child that's born a disadvantage, a difficulty, an obstacle, as far as saying no choice, that child has no choice or can't overcome that obstacle. That's kfira, chas v'shon. But a person can definitely be impeded by pigomim of parents or, you know, things like that.
Why do you say Kain had his own lesson?
Because this is a fact. Number one, Kayin was the Bechor, and it's brought that when a firstborn child receives a certain larger measure of what comes from the parents in general than all the other children, and in many cases than all the other children put together. Person has 21 children, the Bechor receives like a double portion of what compared to all the other children put together. That's one item. There's a second item, that in certain cases when a parent, let's say, has a certain tumah, there are times that that tumah will come out in one child and not in the other child. The classic example is Avram Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu. It's brought that by Avram Avinu, because he came from Terach, etc., etc., there was a certain tumah there. That's why he had to have a child, Yishmael, so that the tumah could be released in Yishmael, and Yitzchak would come out clean, in a sense. So too, and still, Yitzchak Avinu still had a certain degree of impurity. Therefore, Yitzchak Avinu had to have two children, an Esav and a Yaakov, so that there was a second filtering that was done, so that Yaakov Avinu should be double filtered, so that, you know, the Ra should not come. We see this concept that as the children are born, the Toiv and Ra come out. In Shara Gilgulim goes through a whole discussion showing how everything is a hishtalshelus from Kayin and Hevel, showing how all the Tanoim and a lot of different events in Jewish history and a lot of people, how it's all tied into this origin of this main division of Kayin and Hevel.
Statement that was Mishayesh Boy Azus Yadush and Nechshava Eshes Ish. We showed the connection about Eshes Ish with Kayin, and then he rose up. How do we see the connection between Azus connected to this? Is that self-evident about Cain that he had Azus?
Yes, because we learned earlier that it said about Cain, Hashem said, Lama naflu ponecha. When he killed, nefila saponim means giving up that tefillin. Ponim meant the kirun oir haponim. Tefillin is busha. Giving up the busha means automatically that he had Azus. It's either or.
How do Gary when in both senses of the term parents, neither their physical parents or a global were at the Har-Sinai?
I don't know the answer, but I know that this item is discussed by the Arizal, knows to know exactly where their neshamos come from, how their neshamos come bedafka from tzaddikim. There are one or two places in the Likutei Moran where Rabbeinu Zal touches on it, but that's a deep topic. To know exactly where it's not simple. That's different as far as I know. The question is that we said the act of bringing an animal as a korban implies that the person's being compared to a behemoth. The person's being reminded that they did ma'aseh behemoth. What about those korbanos that are not brought for a sin at all? A korban that's brought simply as a thanks offering. Why is an animal used in that case? I don't know. I'm sure there's a reason. In other words, I'm sure there's a way that it doesn't imply any crime or anything, any wrongdoing on the part of a person.
For sure. In that case, what do you do? And also, when you said before that when a goy comes and does something to you, you say it deserved it, maybe so, but that I see leads to guilt. And I don't think guilt is a real healthy thing. I see a lot of Jews who have free guilt and they end up hating themselves because of it.
There's two issues. Number one, this point that you said as far as a person that being embarrassed could be a bad trait, that's definitely true. There's a certain extent, there's a certain level of boishes ponim that's helpful and necessary. There's a certain shyness without which a person can't learn because they don't have a certain respect needed in order to make a bond between rabbi and student or between a person and Hashem. There is a certain humbleness and shyness that's needed. At the same time, there's a danger of overdoing it, where a person's too shy to ask questions or too shy to think they deserve to be in the room, you know, to hear a shir or something like that, which is also no good. As far as this issue of goyim, a Jew feeling guilt-ridden and feeling that we've done so many sins, therefore we deserve to be persecuted, let's say, chas v'shalom. By the goyim, we deserve punishment or things like that. Again, the Gemara gives certain examples where even though Hashem wanted the Jews punished at certain times, the goyim did too good a job of it. No, they're not interested. Their goal isn't to serve Hashem. Their goal is personal pleasure, number one, and they don't limit it to the extent that Hashem wants. They're more than happy to go further than that. So we certainly don't justify their actions, number one. As far as how a Jew is supposed to respond to it, the Torah says there are different cases where you deal with it differently. Habola horgecho hashkim v'horgoi. There are times when a goy tries to do any harm to you, where if you're in a position to defend yourself, you're obligated to defend yourself. At the same time, there's a certain understanding on a whole that in terms of how Hashem is treating us, the fact that we go through difficulties by the nations of the world, very often it's a reflection of our weaknesses. There are things that if we were to get our act together, there's no nation in the world, or there's no number of nations in the world that's in a position to stand up against us. If we see an example of a six-day war, let's say, where there's 200 million Arabs against 2 million Jews, with air forces, with everybody else interested in it, and Hashem showed that within such a tiny span of time, they could literally pulverize whole nations. Six days they didn't defeat them. 6 days they doubled the size of Eretz Yisrael and did all kinds of things where you saw clearly that the Jews aren't limited to a Derech HaTeva. That when the Jews find favor in the eyes of Hashem, it could be 600 million Arabs. It wouldn't matter. It wouldn't make a difference. So to an extent, we have to know that when we're going through suffering, when we're being attacked, it could be a reflection that we're not where we're supposed to be. Doesn't justify what they're doing, and it doesn't justify the fact that they're going to be punished for every drop of Jewish blood that they spill. But to an extent, for us to know this. You have the story in the Gemara in Gittin, where the Gemara says that one of the Roman kings sent a general to attack the Jews, Nero. And Nero shot arrows in different directions to see whether Hashem really wanted to see the Jews, the city of Yerushalayim, destroyed. Then at the end, the last test that he did was he called over a Jewish child and he asked them, what did you learn today? Because it was a well-known item that nevuah is given over to small children. That sometimes, if you catch a child off guard and you ask him a question quick, in his response, sometimes you can hear a prophecy. So this child said that the pasuk he had just learned in yeshiva was the fact that Hashem was going to send Edom, Rome, to attack the Jews. And afterwards, Hashem's going to wipe his hands in them. So this Nero said, you mean he wants me to do his dirty work? And then he's going to wipe his hands on me? No, thank you, not interested. And the Gemara says he went and converted, implying that even when, to a certain extent, they're fulfilling Hashem's plan, there's going to be punishment anyway for it, because they're not totally justified.
We read this week that Hashem said to Abraham, also the nation which suppresses you are also
Jews. Exactly, that even the Egyptians, when Hashem will want the Jews to go to Golus, after the Jews come out, Hashem will take care of them for it. They'll be punished for their oppression. Okay. Paragraph Zion. Again, reminder what we said in the beginning, that this chapter on Likutei Moran isn't easy. Rabbi Nezal is talking about deep concepts that come from the Zohar HaKodesh, that come from the writings of the Arizal. Rabbi Nezal is presenting it in a format of Musar that we can learn from, regarding Midos, Boshesponim, Azus, things like the Tshuva, etc. V'zeh she'sipratano, this is what we've learned so far, is tied into a story in the Gemara, a moshel that's mentioned in the Gemara. The Gemara says that one of the Tanoim told, Erez nofal bimkoimenu, there was a very large tree that fell down in our vicinity, v'avru olav yudvav kronos al chudoi, and this tree was so wide that 16 wagons were able to pass by the width of this tree. Rabbi Nezal explains now, ki yodua shehatzadik sheoyvedes Hashem bedveikus godoil ubesechel godoil. It's known that a tzaddik who serves Hashem with great sechel and with a very close attachment, kishenoifel le'eza madrega p'chusa mimenu, when the tzaddik experiences any type of fall on his level, afal pi shezois ha'madrega shu'achshav bo, gam hi madrega gedoilo le'erech shara tzaddikim, even though when he fell from the 6,000th floor to the 5,999th floor, which to us is still an astronomical height, to him it's a concept of a nefila, a yerida. Avol machmas shelefi erko yehavalei nefila, because to the tzaddik this represents a fall, humizbayesh bozeh madrega. The tzaddik feels ashamed that he's not on the high level that he was originally. Ke'ilu choto ezechet, and he takes it as if he had committed a sin. The same way a regular Jew when he does something wrong, actually against Hashem, he's supposed to feel embarrassed. The tzaddik, even when he doesn't do anything against Hashem, but he experiences some type of a change in level, where he goes down in level for a moment or for a period of time, he also feels a busha, a shame before Hashem. And the tzaddik goes through a process of tshuva, repentance, as if he had committed a sin. And the tzaddik is able to bring himself to tremendous shame and embarrassment. This type of humbleness before Hashem. Hainu bechinas tefillin, which means the tzaddik turns on this concept of the light of tefillin, which represents this busha. Bechinas oz tovin yiras Hashem. We said that tefillin represents this bina, which comes from yiras Hashem, which is synonymous with busha. Ubo lebechinas yediyo chadosho vahakoro. And because of this, because the tzaddik puts himself through this shame, this is what shoots him upward again to come to a higher level of understanding and recognition of Hashem. Whenever a tzaddik allows himself to feel ashamed and embarrassed of what he has before, when he starts going up, he doesn't go up to where he fell from. He goes even higher. It has like a slingshot effect of shooting him up higher than he was originally. V'ikar he'oras ha'tfilin boim al yedei haluchos. Rabbi Nadal says you should know that the main light of tefillin actually originates from the luchos, the tablets that Moshe Rabbeinu brought down. Kemuva, as is brought in the Zohar HaKadosh, Kisha Omru Yisrael Nase V'nishma Zochu L'chagiras Zaynoi Lo. The Zohar HaKadosh says, when the Jews stood at Har Sinai and they received the luchos, they were zochah to receive this new chagira, means like something that was tied to them, referring here to the light of tefillin that's strapped onto the person. Moshe zocho lekirun oyer ponim me'oyer haluchos, and Moshe Rabbeinu received the light that shone on his face, which represents the light of tefillin from the luchos. Kihem hamoichin biatzmon, because the luchos represent kaviyochol, they symbolize the brain itself, the moyach itself. Kal yedei chidud hasechel b'toyro nischadu amoichin, because the luchos which had written on them the Torah. The more Torah a person learns, the more that person's brain is improved. The sechel is sharpened. V'nitoisav boi hakoro, and the person receives a greater recognition of Hashem. U'mizbayish b'yoser, and the person feels smaller. The person feels ashamed and embarrassed. The more a person realizes how great Hashem is, the more they realize how in comparison, how small they are in comparison. V'haluchos heim shoresh ha-Torah. We know that the luchos represent the foundation of the Torah. V'nekroim yud vav. The luchos are represented by the letter yud, which is 10, and the letter vav, which is 6. Al shem aseres hadibrois v'orkon vav v'rochman vav. Because the luchos had on them the 10 commandments, that's the yud, and the dimensions of the luchos were 6 by 6. The Gemara says in Baba Basra, it was 6 tvachim by 6 tvachim. So that's this 16. When we said that the width of this tree was 16 wagons could go through, Yud Vav symbolizes the luchos. V'hatzadik nikro erez balvonon. And we know that a tzadik is compared to this type of an oak tree, this cedar tree, the erez. The pasuk says, tzadik katomar yifroch ki erez balvonon yizkeh, that the tzadik is compared to an erez. V'ze she'siper ha'tano b'shvochei shel ha'tzadik, shel yotzadik b'doiroi. This is what the Tana was relating. He said that there was a certain tzadik emes in his generation, v'nofal b'mkoymenu, and the tzadik fell into our place. Ki b'vadai madregas ha'tano hoiso gam ken g'doilo. Because certainly, even after he fell, this tzadik was on a very high level. However, on his level, it was considered a nefila, that he had fallen. And when it says, olav yudvav kronos, 16 wagons were able to pass over the width of that tree, The word va'avru, Rabbi Nizal says, loshen hisgalus, means they were revealed. As the Pasuk says, v'ovar Hashem lingoif es Mitzrayim, Hashem will pass through Egypt in order to punish the Egyptians. V'targum unkolos v'izgali. The targum on the word va'ovar is that Hashem will be revealed in Egypt. Yudvav kronois al chudoi, when it says that there were 16 wagons that could pass through the width of this tree, hainu al yedei chidud sichloi, v'chidush sichloi shekibel al yedei ha-toyroi, shnekro yudvav kanal, through the sharpening of his mind and the regenerating of his mind that the tzaddik received from studying Torah, which is compared to this 16, nizgale kirun oyer ha-toyroi. There was revealed that shine on his face. Hainu busha, b'chinas tefillin. Gam, also Rabbi Nizal says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu nikro mekoymoi shel olam. We know that one of the nicknames of Hashem, Hashem is called mekoymoi shel olam, the place of the world. V'ze pirush shenofal b'mkoymenu. This is what it means when this Tana said that this great tree fell into our place. Nofal b'mkoymenu, shenofal lahasogas elukus lefi hasogosenu, that this tzaddik's understanding of Hashem became diminished to the extent where it became like our understanding of Hashem. Hagam shegam hasogosenu gedoylo, even though the one that was relating this was himself a tzaddik, it was one of the rabbis of the Gemara, so his understanding of Hashem was also a high madrega. However, this great tzaddik that he was talking about, for him to fall to that level, for him it was considered a drop. Sheshov b'tshuva, which caused him to do tshuva, umizbayesh b'hasagoseinu. And this tzaddik actually feels embarrassed and ashamed when his recognition of Hashem is similar to ours. Because before that it was much, much higher than ours. V'ze pirush, Rabbein Azal says, this is what the pasuk means, the first pasuk of the Torah, where it says, Bereshis bore Elohim. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Bereshis yore boishes, that the first word in the Torah actually teaches us all the advice and everything that Hashem wanted to tell us in the entire Torah is hidden in the first word. The Tikkuni Zohar has 70 chapters showing how in the first word of the Torah you could find all 613 mitzvahs and all the laws and everything. So one of the issues that's brought up there is that the word Bereshis is split up into two words, Yore Boishis. Ki Hayira Hu Habusha, because these are one and the same. Fear, a certain respect that comes from fear, is synonymous with feeling embarrassed and feeling small compared to something else that's much bigger or more powerful than you are. The Zohar HaKadosh also says, Tamon Reishis, Tamon Bas, that the word Bereishis can also be broken up differently to the word Reishis, Roshe, and Bas. And the Zohar HaKadosh explains, Ele Roshe Beis Avoisam. There's a pasuk in Chumash that says, these are the leaders of the houses of the Jewish people, stemming from their forefathers, referring to Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. They're called Roshe Beis, which is the word Bereshis. Rabbi Nizal says, Hainu Tlas Gavnin De'eno Basayin. The word Roshe, Roshe Beis Avoisam, refers to Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. They're called the Avois. There's three of them. That's the word Roshe, which corresponds to the three colored rings in the eye. And base refers to the basayim, the pupil of the eye, is the fourth section of the eye. In the eye you have these four parts, the three colored rings, and the pupil in the center. Rabbein Azal says, Remez mekoyim hatfilin. This also hints to the place where tefillin are placed upon a person. When the Torah says, when the Chumash tells us where to put tefillin, it says, Ula toitofois, bein einecha, between the eyes. We know that means above the eyes, in an area that comes out between the eyes. But this concept of Bereshis, referring to the eyes, represents the mitzvah of tefillin. Ula toitofois bein einecha, utlas gavnin ubasayin heim arba parshiois. And the three colored rings of the eye and the pupil, those four sections correspond to the four sections of the tefillin, the four parshios. So what Rabbeinu Zal wants to show here is that two of the explanations that the Zohar HaKadosh give are one and the same. When the Zohar HaKadosh says that the word Bereishis represents tefillin, because it's Roshei and Bas, Roshei means the three heads of the Jews, the Avram Yitzhak Yaakov, corresponding to the three colored rings of the eye, and Bas refers to the pupil, the Basayim, corresponding to the four Parshias of the tefillin. And the Zohar HaKadosh also says that the word Bereishis is Yorei Boishis. It represents a fear that goes together with shame. You should know that tefillin represents this Yorei Boishis. The mitzvah of tefillin gives a person this Yira and Busha. Or a person who possesses Yira and Busha, that gives the person the ability to receive the full measure of light from the tefillin. Tied into between the eyes.
When you say Yudvav is the scale of Karen Arapan, why is it Arapan with Ayin R?
Because it's talking about the skin. By Moshe Rabbeinu, it says that the skin, Kikoran Oyer Ponov, with an Ayin, it says in Chumash, the skin of his face shone. The word Oyer means also the leather that tefillin are made from is also called oyer with an ayin. Now it's here we're talking about an oyer with an ayin. That's an oyer that shines like an aleph. It's brought by Odom Arishin that on the pasuk that Hashem gave them kosnos oyer vayal bishem, there were two interpretations. The literal what's written in the Chumash is oyer with an ayin, but in the Sefer Torah of Rabbi Meir he wrote oyer with an aleph. In other words, because these, when a person is on the right track, when a person is good, the oyer with an ayin shines like oyer with an aleph. When a person is poigim, the oyer with an aleph is diminished to be just regular oyer with an ayin without the light. It's brought because Adam Rishon was poigim the eitz hachayim. Chayim is bigematria 68. The difference between aleph and ayin is 69. It's Chaim with the Koilel. That's the difference. As a result of Adam Rishon being Poigim and the Eitz HaChaim, the Pagam caused a change of Aleph to Ayin. In other words, the oil, the light, was changed to just plain skin without the light. We'll hold it over here for now. The Zeh Pirush.